Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show on the air. I know that there's lots of entertainment out there, but this is the only show that actually talks about and is providing the only constitutional solution in getting the federal government back into the frameworks of the Constitution. And so if you read my theory, just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. It's not even a theory. If you read my argument, it's an irrefutable argument. Nobody can argue that what I am talking about or what I'm calling for is unconstitutional. And if you read it and you understand the process and go through the bullets of the descriptions of Republic Review, and then you go read Madison and Jefferson's 1798 resolutions, then you will see it'll just jump out at your page. This is exactly what they did. And that's why we have this domain called 1798 Part 2, because this time the states are going to show up. Because what happened in 1798 when Madison and Jefferson, you know, reached out to the states to step in because the federal government was violating the Constitution, those states failed to step in. I truly believe that we are going to get the states to step in. No doubt about it. So you are listening, as I am saying, this is the only show that is on the air that actually has a tangible solution. There's all sorts of really entertaining people that have some really witty ideas and have some great insights on politics and all of those things. And you can take that and go down to the grocery store and find out how many eggs you can bring home, because with regards to actually a tangible solution, none of these ideas, witty comments, or what have you will really solve the problem. That's why I constantly say, are you going to be a part of the problem or a part of the solution? Because if you want to be a part of the solution, you have to start forcing your state legislators to actually begin leading and convince them that they can be a Thomas Jefferson of 2019 in their state session, and get them to actually become a champion for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. The phone number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. Now, I was supposed to go through the details, and I was going to read this interesting story that a friend sent it to me, because he kind of knows I go through the Platonist concepts a lot, and I'm trying to get you to start understanding that what we're dealing with this communist infiltration, with all these secular progressive plans, the globalist plans and everything else, this is all a part of the Platonist strategy and plan that was devised a long, long time ago by Plato. And so it will be interesting that as I read through this, that you'll be able to actually start seeing how some of these things were actually discussed a long time ago, because I think this is in the 40s, but we'll get into the details on that. But before I do, I want to make sure that I do the due diligence in plugging those candidates that are on the candidate endorsement page on Reclaiming the Republic. Please go to their links, to their websites, and contribute money. We've gotten some money to them. It's not enough. They need, as Bill was saying yesterday, he needs thousands of dollars to do radio ads and so forth. And he can't, it's hard for people to fund this by themselves. If you want good people, then we have to support them. Either that, or we allow those people who are, you know, offering their services for sale to those who want to buy affluence with the government. And if you want to continue to allow the status quo such as that to move forward, then we're never going to win. And as a matter of fact, we're on a real rapid pace of losing. because they've already got a monopoly in the education system. They've already got the deck stacked up against us. This is the only thing that will actually knock down their house of cards. If you want to actually make the biggest impact in this election year, it probably has nothing to do with supporting the few candidates in your state and more to do with supporting these five candidates, because Taylor Haynes is in the hunt and he has a good opportunity of becoming the next governor of Wyoming. And with him at the helm, along with these other four legislators that are on my candidate endorsement page, I would beg and plead that if you get involved and you look at this and you contribute and you can help them, again, there's lots of people listening. If we got everybody to contribute, then we would actually have this discussion. And I will tell you, in the 2020 election, if we got the money to get these folks across the finish line, there is a good likelihood in 2020 people are going to be starting to talk about Republic Review. And what is this? Auditing the Constitution against the federal government? What is this? And you will be able to tell them precisely what the heck is going on. And you'll be a part of educating as well as being a part of the solution. I may have my own sardonic humor, and I may have, you know, little moments of enjoyment and pleasure, because it's not that this isn't fun, but this really isn't what I would want to be doing. I'm very sad with the fact that our country and our government is in such shambles, but we have to step up, and that's what good patriots do, right? So anyway, let me point out, if you haven't watched this video on my ReclaimingTheRepublic.org page, and this is my video where I'm presenting to you my academic argument, just watch the first 30 minutes of this video. It's on YouTube. Go to my Take Action page and just scroll down, and right underneath the actual PDF slides that I use in the video, click on the YouTube video, and it will actually show you my presentation, excuse me, and I lay it out in such a way that you're going to have a hard time refuting it. Then go to my homepage and go through the bullets, go through the bullets of Republic Review. You will have complete clarity. And like I said, I challenge you to read what Madison and Jefferson did in those Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. This is verbatim in a 21st century vernacular, and literally with a more of an engineering view of what we need to do, because Jefferson was a legal mind. He thought in, you know, arguments and those types of things. And so maybe it's hard to, you know, for some people to grasp, but maybe that's why when people look at it, they don't see it. But now when you've read this and you understand exactly where I'm coming from, then it jumps out of the page when you read Jefferson's resolutions. When you read Madison's resolutions, you go, wow, GR is absolutely right. This is exactly what they're doing. And then you can actually be the one that says, ah, this really isn't about GR. This is really about what we need to be doing. And so all these other people that are trying to build their market space, these front benchers and those who have really pithy, you know, comments, you know, about progressives and so forth, they can maintain and keep their market space for as long as it's relevant. But if you ask me, if we can get rid of the problem, if we can actually get the federal government into compliance, there's going to be a lot of people that lose their relevance, because now what? There's nobody that's able to violate the Constitution. They can't ram their agendas down our throat. We've actually fixed the problem. Who's going to complain anymore? Where's the grievance industry going to go? I'm going to unemploy, and that's okay. I'm okay with unemploying people. That means that they can move on and become productive members of society. That's what we want. We want people to become productive, right? And so just go watch that video, and that's a good kickstart in getting to understand what the heck's going on. I hope to have this crowdfunding problem taken care of. I'm running out of time. I need to focus on that. Maybe I'll do that tonight or tomorrow. Maybe I'll have to do it probably tonight or tomorrow. But I'm going to grovel, because my knees are almost healed from yesterday's groveling. And so let me grovel a little bit more. I Would love to have your help. I've had a few people. I've got a person that's reached out from Ohio. And so I'm working with that that fine lady who is wanting to get involved and getting into this. There's a couple of other people. I haven't learned their destinations or where they're at. However, I'm hoping that I can get more people that are willing to just take a little bit of time going through a spreadsheet. It really doesn't take that much. You can interface with these people on Facebook. You can interface with them on social media if they're there. I mean, Facebook is probably the monster of social media. I would love to see it shut down. I actually have an account on MeWe. If you want to follow me on MeWe, I actually have a Reclaiming the Republic page out there. So if you're on Facebook, get out of there and go to MeWe. That's where we can have some real conversations without worrying about Facebook shutting us down and silencing our speech and so forth. So that's a nice thing about MeWe. But anyway, before I run out of time, I just definitely wanted to offer you, if you want to email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you want to throw your hat in the ring, I have a few people that have been doing that, and I really appreciate it. And so please give a consideration. I'm not a hard boss. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to be your boss. What I want to do is enable you to become a leader. And then there you go. That's what we're here to do. So I'm at a hard break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the secrets of the Melbourne man. I've been telling you about this. It's an interesting story. I think it's worth sharing because it goes hand in hand with what I've been talking about as far as Platonism. Anyway, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as always, I did look, I did scan, I checked, and there is no sign in the news that the federal government is going to dismantle or disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so, again, that means that it's you and I. We're the ones that are going to have to do this. And I think you're up for the charge. I think I am up for this. And I think that it's about time. It's about time we kind of roll up our sleeves and get to work. I want to again, beg that you look at and support those candidates on my candidate endorsement page. But I also want to say that I did in the news find some things that are worth mentioning, but I don't want to not get through this the secrets of the Melbourne man. So let me dive into this. So I've had a few weeks at different points in time since I've been on Red State Talk Radio and talking about Platonism and how this concept has been integrated into what Adam Weishaupt basically chartered within the Illuminati Charter. The Illuminati Charter sounds like this real conspiratorial thing. However, it is the genesis of the communist movement, the globalist communist movement. And it is no surprise that after the Illuminati Charter, France, through injections of Germany, was able to establish communes underneath the French, I think it was Prince Philip or King Philip or whatever, whoever was the king during the revolution, I forget, I think it was Philip. Anyway, the communes were the source of the first communist revolution. However, because there was this person called Napoleon Bonaparte, who was the master of the time of demagoguery, then Napoleon Bonaparte actually pulled the wool out from underneath them. And you actually can hear, or if you read through history, how the communes, or I should say the communist movement, actually fell flat on its face. And so the next time it arose was in Germany under Bismarck, and that was in the late 1800s, and that was formally after the Karl Marx Manifesto, Engels and Marx Communist Manifesto. So anyway, let me kind of jump into some of the details. I'll give you the back brief on this, or, you know, a little background, I should say. And so if you look at the Secrets of the Melbourne Man, and this, if you just Google this, you can read the entire thing. I'm not going to get into the religious side of this. I mean, I don't try to promote one faith over another. I think that everybody that has fundamental belief and support for individual liberty and individual sovereignty, whether you're Jewish, Buddhist, or what have you, you're welcome to this cause. This has to be setting aside our differences. But this is an interesting story. And this is a story of, and it took place in 1947, and it is a story of a 21-year-old missionary who was out with his partner, and they were in a quaint little section of town. And as they were going through these narrow lanes that kind of wandered around like they had no design whatsoever and no plan, somehow his partners they separated, and they weren't getting any success. So his partner somehow separated from him, and they're not supposed to be separated. So when he ended up, you know, knocking on a particular door, this old man who opened the door said, what do you want? And he said, I want to talk to you about, you know, this plan we have. And he goes, well, come on in. And he kind of looked around and he said, well, I can't. And he goes, well, I don't do business with people in the street. And so he was about ready to shut the door, and this guy felt, okay, well, for me to keep this conversation going, because it's been a long time since he actually had interface, you know how sometimes salespeople will get, or as missionaries may get. So anyway, he violated the fundamental rules of their mission policy. And so he went into this man's house and sat down, and he calls him the Melbourne Man. And he says, the Melbourne Man, as I called him, described how Plato, an ancient Greek philosopher, had designed a different kind of society. This man's plan would follow similar lines. There would be three classes of people: the leaders, workers, and the teachers. The teachers would be trained to condition a sinless society. As you call sin, he said, there would be no hate, no greed, no jealousy, no envy, no lust, no malice, no sin. The workers would be envious of the leaders. The leaders would not oppress the workers. The teachers would condition each class to willingly accept their assigned role in this perfect society. The Melbourne Man further described how breeders would be chosen based on superior intelligence. physical perfection, and longevity genes. Children would be taken from their mothers at birth and placed in communal nurseries, and through various tests, their classes would be determined. They would then receive specialized conditioning for what particular class. All defective babies had to be eliminated, and the total number of births would need to be controlled to prevent overpopulation and depletion of natural resources by this selective breeding. A master race of geniuses could be created. Sounds just like Hitler. Sounds like communism. Yes, this is Platonism all through and through. And again, that's how far back these ideas and concepts go. Workers, scientists, and he goes on and says, workers, scientists were assigned to research life extension techniques until future generations could live forever. Through space research, they could reach out into the universe to develop planets hospitable to human life. This perfect society then spreads through space in a never-ending cycle. I ask, how will you condition them? He then explained in detail the basic conditioning tools. They included diet, drugs, music, movies, education, etc. And all of those things he just listed are definitely monopolized and in control by, except for food. But been monopolized by the progressives. He described how diet, the basic elements of life, food and water, would be a major desensitizing and conditioning instrument. The Melbourne man said that by using additives and special formulas, by changing plants and animals, the diet of the people leaves them submissive and easily controlled. When that man told me that the materials, systems, and procedures were already in place in 1947, my farm boy mentality refused to accept it, especially when he explained drug addiction. He outlined how drug addiction changes personalities, making them so dependent that they will agree to anything to satisfy their needs. I protested that people will not allow themselves to be manipulated that way. He just laughed and said, Mr. Law, you're such a child. Wait and see. I did not see how music could be used. The man then described melodic dissonance for me in detail. He told of the conditioning experiments of the Russian scientist Pavlov in communist Russia using dogs and metronomes. Pavlov found that he could condition a dog to salivate when a metronome beat at 60 beats per minute. He then learned that he could condition the same dog to never produce saliva when the metronome beat at 120 beats per minute. In another experiment, the same dog, Pavlov had both metronomes beating at the same time, one at 60 beats and the other 120 beats. The conditioned dog was required to do two totally opposite functions at the same time. This produced nervous shock and the dog collapsed unconscious. Next, the same dog, Pavlov, had the 60-beat metronome suddenly jump to 120 beats per minute, and at the same instant, the 120-beat metronome dropped to 60 beats. This produced a melodic dissonance when the metronomes were switched back and forth. Rapidly, the dog became so distressed that it died. In communist Russia, these experiments were then extended to humans with similar results. Using variations of melodic dissonance, the new music was created. Musical scores and lyrics were developed. A team of musicians called the Beatles was trained in Europe and introduced to America on the popular Ed Sullivan talent show, a national television that were an instant hit, and all of the other fans of music and became old fashioned. I would not understand such a phenomenon in 1947, but years later, I first heard rock and roll, everything flashed back to 47. I realized that the Australian did know that it would be a powerful tool for their conditioning plan. The Melbourne man said that they had already begun behavior modification conditioning in government schools using audiovisual programs when they introduced their messages beginning in preschool. The results are intense and permanent. A monster was emerging that I found sinister and all-controlling. I could not believe what I was hearing. But over and over, he said, wait and see. You will live to see our perfect plan in full operation. When we control all the conditioning processes, everything will fall neatly into place. And like I said, they've already monopolized every single one of these things other than food. Well, I shouldn't say that because there's an argument. I'm going on a tangent. I'm getting away from the story here. But there is an argument that some of the food manipulation and so forth, and actually I'm going into a hard break, so I will actually explain the argument on this diet process because I think our type 2 diabetes is directly reflecting this type of manipulation. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Please stay tuned. I think you're going to love this. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so if you do call in and I am focused on this story and or this content, forgive me, but I will jump on the phone as soon as I can break. But let me just say this. If you look at how we moved away from sugars and in the 70s started utilizing high fructose corn syrup, it became a shock it drove an impact on our metabolism. And this high fructose corn syrup it's harder for our body to process. If you look at when they started injecting these different food types for sweeteners and so forth, it literally created this future epidemic of type 2 diabetes. Now, the question is, well, why would that happen? And why would that, was this just an accident? Well, if it was an accident, then we would probably have banned it and gotten away from it and so forth. But instead, they're still using high fructose corn syrup, and they're using other types of sugars and so forth that are hard on our processing, that damages kidneys and forces people to going into type 2 diabetes. And if you understand the consequences of that, that means that there is a lot of money to be made in the medical industry, especially the treatment of dialysis, type 2 diabetes medications. And so, I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar business. And is it possible? Now, I'm going to throw it out there. If tobacco companies understanding what they were doing by creating a more addictive tobacco that you would have a harder time quitting when you realize that this stuff was affecting you, why would pharmaceutical companies who are playing with food companies as well, getting them to utilizing stuff that's actually going to pay them dividends in the years to come? It becomes a very insidious relationship between one type of company and another. And if you look at these multi-conglomerate corporations, where Monsanto's, which is Bayer, right, as well as, you know, the other companies that this conglomerate owns, they own almost the full food chain, from healthcare, pharmaceuticals, as well as food. And so, is this by design? And this kind of actually creates these connections to say, this possibly is. Do I have evidence of that? I don't have hard evidence, my friends, but I will tell you that it is not an accident that we are in this boat with our health and all of these problems that we are dealing with regarding the type 2 diabetes and all of these other epidemics of standard problems where people are requiring a lot of services, where somebody's making bank on this. And I'm just telling you that this, I don't think this is less likely of a coincidence and more likely of design. So anyway, he goes on, he says, I protested that they were forcing their will and control on people, taking away freedom of choice. His answer was no, they can still choose, but they will always choose exactly what they're conditioned to choose. But that's not right. He laughed at my evident simplicity. So I protested again, but God won't allow it. Why not? How can a just God? And then he breaks. There is no such being. Keep those sinless souls out of heaven. That's what you believe, isn't it, Mr. Law? So he began a different tactic. Why do you love Mr. Law? You certainly don't love the Australian people. Oh, yes, I do. That's why I came on a mission. So how many have you saved? That was a hard mission. Few and far between were welcome to missionaries. Fewer were our converts admitted grudgingly. Not many. And he said, all the rest are consigned to hell? Oh, no, there are different degrees of glory. And he cuts them off and says, we know all about your 3 degrees of glory. It means that we are called to be Mormons, but few are chosen to be gods. We know all about your church. We control every church in the world except yours, and we will infiltrate that. Mr. Law, you don't know anybody, do you? Well, or you don't love anybody, do you? He says, well, I love my mother. No, you don't. Under your plan, she can either choose to go to hell or make a mistake and fall through the cracks into hell. If you really loved your mother, you'd be eager to guarantee that she would go to heaven. Our plan is guaranteed, in fact, that no one will be lost. They will all go to heaven. Of course, we don't believe in heaven or hell anyway, but if you really love your fellow man, our plan is the only way to show it. I said, I think I've heard of this plan before. Where could you have heard of it? It must have been in the Council of Heaven before I was born. He just laughed. I was reeling under his attack, but I could not leave. There were no chains on me, but I felt as if I was bound hand and foot to the chair, as though I was paralyzed. So I asked, who are you, and what do you call this plan? I am the 3 members of the Central Planning Committee of the Communist Party for Australia. I'm one of the 3 members. And I said, I've heard of communism, but I knew very little about it. The Melbourne man told me that the world understood economic and political and military communism, but the plan he was outlining to me, he called spiritual communism, that they would evolve into a worldwide government. he said that they were using the current governments until they could control the world. Then these political, economic, and military leaders would need to be eliminated because they are violent men. Then the new world order would take over. I asked how they could plan, make that plan work when there were so many people who were not prepared to accept it. He said, "We will have to annihilate all who cannot be conditioned to be either a worker or a teacher. How many will you kill?" "Hundreds of millions, maybe even you and me," he said. "But that's murder. That is a Christian term, and it has no meaning. It is really a part," and I told you this, on the black side of subjugation, they believe that they will do anything necessary to further their cause and to obtain their ends. And he goes on and says, "We need to reduce the population to a more manageable size. Anyway, only the inner core of the elite leaders know about the plan. The present communist leaders don't know it. Spiritual communism is not written or recorded anywhere. It is a secret plan." "Then why would you tell me?" He was a bit perplexed, but he had an answer. "I don't know, but we're looking for zealous young men who will join us, who will join this work to help bring about this heaven on earth. Think about it. No one soul would be lost. I was not ready to give up. You'll never take over the world." He answered, "Mr. Law, we now control 2/3 of the world's government politically or militarily or economically. The United States of America remains as the last major hurdle to world domination. So I boldly declared, you'll never take over the United States." But he said, "Mr. Law, let me tell you how it is." He said, "They control all major conditioning instruments in America now. The entertainment industry, the news media, the education system, the courts, the financial system, political parties. Where they don't have full control, they have infiltrated and have embedded their agents into all important decision-making bodies." He said, "They control every agency that affects daily living in America. Their agents were everywhere doing their jobs. But since I was a high school graduate, 12 years in an education system, I thought I'd been made an expert in education." Quite triumphantly, I said, "You don't control the education system." And again, Mr. Law, tell me how it is. When you get home, examine any textbook in school at any entry level from preschool to your university graduate school. You will find no mention of Jesus Christ or God or his plan, but you will find our plan being taught at every level. It's written into every textbook." How right he was. I have spent almost 40 years of my life in education as a teacher since, and have been an administrator in public and private school systems. Satan's plan is there. God's plan is forbidden by law. God has been even declared unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court. I asked, when would all this take effect and his spiritual plan would be in operation? He said, "We have a progressive agenda. We are prepared to take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. 2 forward, 1 step back until it's time. The American people won't know it's happening. When it is favorable, then everything will move swiftly to purging or cleansing stage. People will be stunned into mobility. We won't want a time lag between takeover and full operation of our spiritual phase." Then he asked, "What do you think? Are you ready to join our forces?" I fell back to the only sure ground I knew. I believe in God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, and in their plan, and I will follow. The Melbourne man became violently angry, shouted, "There are no such beings. They're myths created to enslave the minds of men. They don't exist." I answered simply, "But I have felt the power of the Holy Ghost fill me with fire from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I have heard the voice of God testify to me that Jesus Christ is His Son. His plan is the truth, and that is what I teach." He lunged across the room and attacked me with his fist. Suddenly, I was free. I could move, and I ran outside, found my companion wandering, and that's the end of the story. Actually, he goes on to some more details and so forth, but I find it fascinating that here is an account and an argument of somebody that is describing what Plato is planning on doing, and how it is, it really points to how they have monopolized our progressive, who can argue that our progressive system, or the progressives haven't monopolized our education, entertainment, and all, every facet of these influential things in our lives. Of course, I'm at a hard break, so I will be right back to kind of give you some summaries and some other information I think you'll find fascinating. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let me get into some summary here. I truly believe when you start looking, and if you read Plato's Republic, you can actually see how what Plato wrote is actually being, you know, laid out in front of us. And it's been happening for a long, long time. If you've ever read a book by W. Cleon Skousen called The Naked Communist, in there are 45 steps, 45 goals that the communists have in America in instituting. And this came out in the 50s, and people were absolutely shocked. And I believe it was even congressional testimony in 60 or 61. It's in my first book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? And when you look at some of the goals that they had, people just shook their heads. No way. Normalize homosexuality and homosexual marriage? You got to be kidding me. And some of the perverse and debasements that had to occur for some of these goals to actually come into being. You would think that there was just no way our government was going to allow these things to happen. The decimation of the family by instituting plans and welfare and so forth that rewarded breakups of families instead of rewarding the maintenance of families and keeping families together. It's interesting how successful they have been. But like this gives you this insight that they have been infiltrating. So when you think of a really, really conservative organization that is out there, that is, supposedly fighting the cause against communism and so forth, you have to ask yourself, is there a possibility that they have been infiltrated? Because he said that they have infiltrated and are in the process of. Well, the fortunate thing is, and I can tell you this for a fact, that because this is really not necessarily a one-man show, but because, you know, there are so few people and we're all dead set in calling for the audit that this Republic Review is not a plan that has been infiltrated. And so in its purest state, and as you can read and understand what it is we are doing, then you can rest assured that you are actually dealing with the real McCoy and something that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison would have engaged, actually they did engage in, not would have engaged in. And so I would submit to you that as you examine and look at this, then I think you'll actually find that this is the pure essence of exactly what has to happen, what we need to do. Now, I know moving forward for this election and trying to gain and or maintaining control, at least to keep the progressives at bay, I think every Democratic-controlled city and every Democratic-controlled state should stand as evidence to the failings and blight that comes from the globalist communist agenda. Our republic was never designed to make citizens depend on government. And when one all of a sudden sees that, it's almost like sheep. It's almost like we've been debased into animals, that we are dependent on them for every little facet in our lives. I also wanted to talk about, and this is some of the stuff in the news, but I'm taking a marketing angle to this. And so I'm not sure if you know who LBJ is. Lyndon B. Johnson, right? Well, maybe LeBron James is a reincarnation of Lyndon B. Johnson, because he's really stepping into politics. And Lyndon B. Johnson was really, he was not a leader. I would call him some bad names. But what I will do is he managed the globalist communist agenda by infiltrating socialism and communist policies and programs such as healthcare, such as welfare, food stamps, and those types of things. And he kicked them in. He was the one that brought in the rewarding of the decimation of families. He was a very evil man. And I think what LeBron James is going to be doing, if you haven't heard, he's doing this documentary. And I truly believe this three-part documentary, I forget what show it's going to be on, but I'm convinced that if you watch this documentary, it will expose his literacy or his lack of literacy regarding the Constitution and our founding principles. Everything he's going to say and everything he's going to do is going to be basically parroting and regurgitating Platonism and the progressive policies and the progressive ideals. This ought to provide even more marketing for an in-depth look at how illiterate and dangerous people can be with their illiteracy. It is really, really important to understand what the framers' original intents were, because, and that's why I've talked about this several times. That's why it was a standing question for a long time. Why is it important that we read our founding documents? For the same reason, it's important for you to read your scriptures, so that as things start to change and get perverted, you can recognize them and call them out. So that's why they waited before they started perverting religion, to get people to a point where they would no longer recognize these perversions. Now, it's a pretty sad day, but that's where we are, because there's very, very few people that have ever read the Bible. There's plenty of people that have read little snippets here and there, and they have their own favorite scriptures and verses, but they do not understand the gospels from the Old Testament and the New Testament in the type of context that they need to. And that's one of the reasons why we've seen the churches actually abdicate their responsibilities and actually force and push people like the Circle of Protection. I've already talked to you about them. Go look them up. Actually, go look on my Red State Talk Radio podcast on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And at the very bottom of that page, I have the Circle of Protection signatories. Look at the churches that have all signed up to basically say, and they're supporting wholeheartedly, the intent for you and your fellow people in need to go to the government and get them to pay for your welfare needs, your temporal needs and, you know, food, whatever it is, go on their welfare so that the churches will be able to maintain their system. And so I will tell you that if you want to understand how they've been infiltrated, I would just say start reading Plato's Republic. There's a lot of really good books out there. One book I would highly recommend is my book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? But, you know, I'm not necessarily here to try to plug that. I'm actually hoping that you can find other alternate sources like The Unseen Hand and so forth. But let me jump forward. I honestly believe that when you watch this LeBron James series, you will find illiteracy just jumping out of that. One would think that this would not pass necessary, but I honestly believe that it is necessary that states actually begin passing laws. I think this just makes sense, but for some reason we don't have this. But every state should pass a law that it is illegal to create a law that violates the Constitution of the state or the United States. So in other words, when you have a lawmaker, because in Washington and California, all over the place, they're writing laws that are violating the Constitution. And so I believe it should be a crime, and whoever the lawmaker is and those sponsors, regardless of whether they're state legislators or whomever, if they write a law and they try to get it passed, then they should have to go to jail, because what they're doing is they're directly undermining our constitutional process. A great case in point is there's this Initiative 1639 that is trying to infringe on a person's rights to bearing arms in the state of Washington. And in doing that, they're violating the 14th Amendment, because the 14th Amendment says the state shall pass no laws that abridge any of the individual privileges and immunities within the Constitution, which includes the Second Amendment. And in doing this new law of making it harder and impossible and classifying things to say you can't have these things, only a certain age can have these things and so forth, they are infringing a person's right. And so when it comes down to, and these things get challenged all the time. A great example is in a city. A city actually tried to pass a law that would make it illegal for coal and oil on rail cars to be transited through there. And in doing that, I think they wanted to actually charge taxes on it and make them pay a fee if in case there was a spillage or something. And that is unconstitutional. One state or a city cannot place taxes like a, what do they call that? Like a bounty and or a fee, an export fee or an import fee or a transportation fee on the flowing of commerce. That's a violation of the Commerce Clause. And so it's interesting that they try and they continue to do that. But if you have a law on the books that says if you try to pass a law that is unconstitutional, we find out that it's unconstitutional, it goes to court, gets challenged, you go to jail, period. I'll bet you anything lawmakers would think a second time before they thought, well, is this going to violate? Because if they don't understand the Constitution, they'll start getting smart on it pretty quick. That's why I believe, my friends, it is so critical that we start having constitutional tests of everybody who has to raise their arm to the square and state that they are and will support the Constitution of the United States. I am G.R. Mobley, and I am Reclaiming the Republic, and this is Reclaiming the Republic on Red State Talk Radio. I hope you tune in tomorrow. We will have Washington and more of his farewell address. So please come back and we will give you all of the insights on what Washington said about abiding by the Constitution. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiustrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiustrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.